for that page. I will open in prayer as we continue. Hymn number 206, if you want to look in your book. Otherwise, I do have it on slides behind me. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to worship you today. Lord, prepare our hearts for what the children have to present to us. Lord, in their verses they've memorized, in the scriptures, the music that's presented, Lord, might we be drawn to you and see you and feel you in our presence this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the season of Christmas and sending your Son to be the Savior of the world. Then later on, taking that great responsibility of our sin that you placed upon him. And then, Lord, 3 days later, raising from the dead. Lord, living on high now, interceding for us, taking our place in the penalty that we so deserved. Thank you, Lord, for your coming. We look forward to it. We pray that as we sing, that our hearts will be lifted up and you might exalt it in all that we say and do this morning. We pray in thy name. Amen. Hymn number 206, Born in a Manger.
In the darkness of a winter's eve, baby Jesus came to earth. In the stillness of creation, sing of a little baby's birth. Born in a manger long ago, how could the Savior love me so? He left his throne, Calvary, he came to earth for me. Not a palace for the little king, nor a pillow for his bed, not a scepter for his royal hand, nor a crown adorned his head.
Faithful, joyful, and triumphant. 201 if you need the book. If you would and are able, stand with me as we sing, all right?
Come on.
Amen. You may be seated. Here, Brian, we have a verse that we recite every month. This month is Romans 8:31. So let's say the reference, then the verse, and then the reference together again, all right? Romans 8:31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Romans 8:31. God's always watching out for us. And he's got our back, and we have nothing to fear for those that are against us, because he's with us. A next song that we're going to sing is 199. Children will be coming into this song, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, Glory to the Newborn King. 199 if you need the book.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations come, of the skies with the angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord. Late in time behold him come, offspring of a virgin's womb. Filled in flesh the God-man see, hailed incarnate deity. Emmanuel, hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hail the high-born Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness.
Thank you for your singing this morning. I'm going to turn the rest of the service over to Maggie Anderson, Libby Owens, and Carl Anderson. There's some piano solos and different things that will take place, instruments. They can have the rest of the time.
Christmas is the time to praise the Lord. Christmas is a joyous time of celebration. One of the things associated with this time of year are bells. Think of the music, Carol of the Bells, Silver Bells, I Heard the Bells, Ring the Bells, and so on. Why bells? Bells are usually loud and attract attention. Also, bells have historically been used for announcements, announcements such as calling in the field hands for dinner, calling for church attendance, warnings for coming disasters, and joyous news such as the signing of an armistice ending a war. What would the bells be announcing at Christmas?
Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. And the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, called Emmanuel, which means God with us.
Matthew 1:20-23, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us.
That is a big announcement, a 700-year-old promise of God fulfilled. Another announcement is peace. The peace here is peace with God. We are reconciled to him because Jesus paid the price for our sin.
Ephesians 2:14, Jesus himself is our peace. Colossians 2:13-14, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross.
Luke 2:8-14, there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said, Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. You will find the baby wiped in clothing and laying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angels praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest on earth. Praise, goodwill to man.
A 700-year-old promise fulfilled. Peace with God, and that's not all. Jesus removed the sting of death and destroyed Satan's power. These are big announcements that all people need to hear.
Hebrews 2:14. Since the children have flesh and blood, Jesus also shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil. 1 Corinthians 15:55-57. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
It is easy to see why bells are associated with the good news of Christmas. A 700-year-old promise fulfilled, peace with God, the power of Satan destroyed, and victory over sin. No more sacrifices because Jesus made the final one. Luke 23:44-46. It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom.
Christmas Day, listen well to what they say.
The shepherds who heard the angel's announcement were not quiet. They did not keep the good news to themselves.
Luke 16:20. So the shepherds hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them.
As we celebrate this season, let's bring to mind why the bells are ringing. We have wonderful news to share.
Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift.
Father, give Thank you, kids. That was really, really great. You're probably expecting a regular Christmas message right now. Well, it's not going to sound that way at the beginning. Is my lapelmic not? I thought I hit the switch.
Are we on now? Oh, we're on now. Okay. As I was thinking about this Christmas season, I thought back to last year. It was a year ago tomorrow that I lost my father. And then I recall what happened last Sunday. Many of you, maybe most of you know, our Pastor Flink's son-in-law's brother, Caleb Counterman, was on his way to church, hit a patch of ice, lost control, and he's now in the presence of the Lord. His family is fine, no serious injuries to his wife or boys. But this Christmas is going to be a little different for them. And sometimes when we're rejoicing, there are people around us who are hurting, people who feel pain when others are smiling and laughing. The Christmas season is a wonderful season. It's a time to rejoice. But for some of us, there are pains. There's anguish of soul. And I'd like to look at a psalm this morning that was written by someone, we don't know whom. It was written by a group called the Sons of Asaph, the choir singers in the temple. And there was someone who was hurting. And I'm just going to look at what he does to get himself out of the doldrums. How the Lord gave him hope from his despair. Psalm 77. I'll read the first four verses. I cry aloud to God. Aloud to God, and he will hear me. In the day of my trouble, I seek the Lord. In the night, my hand is stretched out without wearying. My soul refuses to be comforted. When I remember God, I moan. When I meditate, my spirit faints. You hold my eyelids open. I'm so troubled that I cannot speak. He doesn't tell us what his problem is. Perhaps it was an ordinary kind of thing. Perhaps someone has been stealing his sheep and cattle. Perhaps he'd been feeling ostracized by his former friends. Perhaps his family was on the brink of starvation. Perhaps he was ill and thought that he would never rise from his bed again. The Bible doesn't tell us. He doesn't inform us what his griefs were all about. And so we can identify with him. We don't know what they are, but we know what grief is. We know what it's like to suffer, to feel that pain, that anguish, that agony. And he responds by turning to God. He remembers God, but it doesn't help. He moans. When he meditates, he wants to give up. He can't sleep. It says in verse 4, you hold my eyelids open. You keep me from sleep. I'm in anguish. I'm so troubled I can't speak. But then he does something that I'd like all of us to do today. In verse 5, I consider the days of old, the years long ago. Something happened 2,000 years ago that provides a solution for every anguish, every agony, every grief that we can experience. Now, this psalm was written 3,000 years ago. He looks back to the history he had, and he asks some questions. It's not wrong to ask questions. It's not wrong to come before God and say, why me? But we've got to do it with the right attitude. And he does. He says in verse 6, Let me remember my song in the night when I was happy. Let me meditate in my heart, then my soul made a diligent search. And he asks a few questions. Number one, will the Lord spurn forever and never be favorable? Has his steadfast love forever ceased? Are his promises at an end for all time? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in his anger shut up his compassion? You might read that several times before you realize those are not inquisitive questions. Those are rhetorical questions that have an implied answer built within them. He's making statements as he's asking these questions. Now, let me say them as statements rather than questions. The Lord will not spurn forever. He will once again be favorable. His steadfast love has not ceased. His promises are not at an end. He has not forgotten to be gracious. And he has not, in his anger, shut up his compassion. He is approaching his troubles with faith. He trusts God. And at this point, he turns to the past and recalls what God had done some 400 or 500 years earlier when Israel was held captive in slavery in Egypt. Verse 10, then I said, I will appeal to this, to the years of the right hand of the Most High. What has he done in years past? I will remember the deeds of the Lord. I will remember your wonders of old. I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your might among the peoples. You, with your arm, redeemed your people, the children of Jacob and Joseph. And then he remembers what happened to those children of Israel in Egypt. When the waters of the Red Sea saw you, O God, when the waters saw you, they were afraid. Indeed, the deep trembled. The clouds poured out water, the skies gave forth thunder, and your arrows flashed on every side. The crash of your thunder was in the whirlwind. Your lightnings lighted up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your way through the sea as he guided his children, the children of Israel, through the Red Sea. Your paths through the great waters. Yet your footprints were unseen. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Now, wait a second. What happened to his grief? By the end of this passage, he doesn't sound too unhappy anymore. It seems that all of his troubles are a drop in a bucket. There is nothing compared to what he knows his God has done. This ought to be our attitude as we approach the Christmas season and think about what God has done, not to save one nation out of slavery, but to save the world, to save all who will believe in him from our slavery to sin. We have all been born in sin. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are all in danger of judgment. But God has provided a way of salvation through his Son. But for his Son to die on the cross, he had to be born. He had to be born. And to be a sacrifice of great enough value to deserve to give us forgiveness. A great enough value to pay for our sins. It had to be God himself who gave his life. And it was on that first Christmas day when God came to this earth became born of a virgin, took upon himself human flesh, was made, fashioned in the form of a servant, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I was going to preach longer, and when I saw how long the program lasted, I thought, well, I'm going to shorten this up and just get to the point. I'd like to celebrate today the greatest thing God has ever done for us, providing salvation for us in Jesus Christ. I want to look back at our history, what happened for us 2,000 years ago. He became one of us to die for one of us, to provide a way of salvation for us. The psalmist ended his psalm with griefs gone. And as we look to Jesus Christ, place our faith in him based on what he did to save us from our sin on the cross, we too can have salvation from our sins. Now the psalmist still had his griefs. Perhaps his cattle were still being rustled. Perhaps he was still being bullied on his way into town. Perhaps he was being threatened with his life. His own family members perhaps were in danger. Perhaps there was a lawsuit against him trying to steal his property. We don't know. Doesn't matter. At the end of this psalm, it's not much of a problem anymore. And once we know Jesus Christ, once we understand who he was, what he has done, and accept salvation through Christ, and we have peace with God, our other problems being so much less. They're nothing. They're like a drop in the bucket. We still have those problems. And perhaps there are those here today who are agonizing. You're in anguish over something. Think back to the time when God sent his Son to save us. Our problems are a little bit less when we realize all he's done and understand our security in him who gave himself to save us. Let's close with a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for Christmas, not just our celebration of Christmas every year, but for that first Christmas, for the little baby who was born in a manger in Bethlehem. We thank you that you performed a greater deed than even dividing the Red Sea when you caused that baby to be born, when you became a child like one of us. We ask, Lord, that we would all believe in you. Those of you here who have already accepted you as Savior, ask that they would grow in faith. For those who have not, I ask them to understand better. Help all of us, Lord, to know you better. Give us peace, the peace of Jesus Christ. In his name I pray. Amen.
What will you do with Jesus? Will you take him as your Savior today if you've not known him as your personal Savior? Let him take those worries and give you that hope from despair that you have. Let's turn to hymn number 324. That's the title of the song, What Will You Do with Jesus? Think on the words as we sing him this morning. We're going to sing all three verses as the invitation hymn. Would you stand with me if you're able? Sing with us. Father, hear our prayer this morning as we come to you, people who are hurting. Lord, as we seek you, Lord, maybe we're hurting from a sin that we have in our life that needs to be confessed, that we need to realize our need of salvation and put our faith and trust in you this morning. Lord, from the hurt of a loss of a parent, loss of a loved one, Lord, I pray that you give us comfort as we trust you. Lord, thank you for the message of the bells this morning as the children sang. Lord, help us to ring the bells and let the whole world know Jesus was born in Bethlehem many years ago. Lord, thank you for the season that we can remember back to what was represented by your coming to earth as a baby. And Lord, thank you for the gift that you provided that day. A baby born in a manger that later would take the price of our sin that we so deserved. Be with us as we go our ways. Help us to have a good Christmas season with family, friends. Lord, might our hearts be open to what you would have to do with us in this season. We pray this in thy name. Amen.